Hello and welcome to the Hornets and Heartbreak podcast. My name is Mark Bernacki. I'm here with my co-host, Tim Rogers. What's up, Tim?
What it do, Liquor Mark?
I'm doing pretty well, man. I went to the Hornets game last night against the Thunder where we won by like 20-something points. It was a beautiful sight. Game was never really in doubt. The Thunder suck. They don't have very many good players. They have SGA, Josh Giddey, and like maybe you can throw Lou Dort in there. He's also a good player. But like the rest of their team is just rough. It was a great game. Good time. Hornets fans showed out. It started snowing during the game or maybe a little bit before the game. And as we left, it was like a winter wonderland out there. I had a little bit of trouble getting home. I had to drive like 20 miles per hour getting home after the game. But yeah, snow for the Hornets win against the Thunder. We are 7-1 in our last 8 games. If we hadn't lost to the Magic, it would be an 8 game win streak. Probably like the best stretch in Hornets history. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I love that take. You know, like one of my takes, if Lou Dort was on the roster, wouldn't play because Cody Martin is better.
Nice. Yeah, dude, SGA and Giddey were super impressive though. Watching them was cool. I thought it would be like a fun game to go to see the Thunder's young players, but it's just like, oh, there's only like two of them. There's only like two good players. The rest of the team, just not a fun watch. You got Trey Mann out there and Kenrich Williams, some other dudes who are like somehow still in the league. It was tough. But yeah, the Hornets took care of business and they've been hot. Most of the past few games, the Knicks, the Celtics, and the Thunder game have all been wins that were like never really in question. So yeah, dude, we've moved up in the standings. We're doing very well right now.
Yeah, I would say I want to bring it up. As far as the Thunder go, do you think like other than SGA and Giddey, do they have any players that would like get minutes on our roster? I don't think that Bazley would get minutes.
Bazley sucks. He missed many threes last night. Yeah, I mean, obviously just one game, but like the rest of the roster was just like super not impressive. So no, I don't really think so. They got Diakite. It's kind of nice, I guess. Probably not. Yeah, no, I don't think anybody other than Giddey, SGA, and you can give Lou Dort some minutes on our team too. But he did not have a good game. Lou Dort, much bigger in person, like in terms of width. All right. He's a big dude. That dude is sizable.
I like that. Yeah, he's a. What do they say on the goat?
I can't remember. Yeah, yeah. He's got some size to him.
Acreage.
Yeah, he's got acreage, dude. He has like 2 acres to his name out there on the court. He's a big dude. I didn't realize quite how big he is. I mean, not a knock against him. He's just big. I mean, he must this weigh like a, at least 250, 260.
This is the take I have. Where initially I was kind of, you know, like, I feel like 2 years ago I was like kicking myself. I was like, man, if we had SGA instead of Miles Bridges, wow, that would be nice. But now maybe I'm just a Hornets homer. I'm like, Miles Bridges way better than SGA. Like, yeah, so I know that's slanderful, but I would say he's a small forward, power forward. I think it's more important.
Yeah, it is more important to have an elite wing. Like, point guards in the league, there are just so many good ones. I think SGA, if you want to go like strict objective, who's better, it's SGA. But Miles Bridges on this team, we don't need SGA, dude. LaMelo is our point guard. We have Terry Rozier. We don't need SGA as much as we need a guy like Miles Bridges. Remove Miles Bridges from our team, put SGA on our team, we're definitely a little bit worse, I think. But in a vacuum, I'm riding with SGA. He was sick last night. Like him again, him and Giddey, only bright spots.
That's very fair. Yeah. If you were just drafting a team, you'd probably take SGA over Miles.
Yeah.
But, yeah, last night. And I will say, you were very high on Giddey before the draft. And I think that Giddey's actually really good. I still stand by the fact that like Giddey and LaMelo is kind of like a Twin Towers backcourt.
Yes.
I would be into.
I kept on, like, SGA was nice, but I was more enamored with, like, Giddy's play. He was sick, had a couple sick passes. He was finishing around the rim very well, too. Him and SGA both were doing that. And, yeah, like, if we had him and LaMelo in our backcourt, we would have the entire support of a continent. Australia would be completely behind us, right? Two back-to-back, and I think it's NBL League MVPs over in Australia. So, yeah, I'd be pretty down to have Giddy on our team. I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be very good.
One thing I did not know, SGA, Canadian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, he's Canadian. I think he didn't – did he not go to school and he played in, like, Canada instead or something? I'm making that up.
I actually do not know about that. I think that SGA went to an American college, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah, I could be making that up. I could be thinking of somebody else.
I like the Canadian basketball player. Like, you know, there is shouts to Tristan Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, SG. Yeah, I see.
This is a terrible take. Yeah, this is a terrible take.
Dude,
I hate most Canadian basketball players, I think. Andrew Wiggins? What?
You're right. I mean, you're going to sleep on Anthony Bennett, dude?
The biggest bust of all time. You want to move on to Cade's question? So we got some listener questions here.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. He asked, are we closer in quality to the teams above us? And they put in parentheses Sixers and Cavs, or the teams below us, the Wizards, Raptors, and Celtics. And just objectively, if you look at the standings right now, we're closer to the teams above us. We're actually only, I think, 3.5 games back from first place in the Eastern Conference. That's not to say that we're going to get there, but we're in seventh place right now, and we're closer to the Bucks than we are to the Raptors. We're only 2 games back from the Bucks, and we're 2.5 games ahead of the Raptors in eighth place. And I think we've solidly established ourselves in that little mini tier behind the Nets, Bulls, Heat, and Bucks of the Cavs, Sixers, and Hornets. I don't think the Cavs and Sixers are clearly better than us at all. We're on a 7-1 game streak here. We've won 7 out of the last 8. And when we're healthy, we are dangerous. We're not in the same tier as the Wizards and the Celtics and the Raptors, in my opinion. And in fact, we play the Raptors and Celtics coming up, and the Hawks, who have Trae Young, who's worse than Ja Morant. And we'll see how we fare against these like other tier Eastern Conference teams in the coming weeks. We already beat the Sixers once. We already beat the Cavs once. We're 1-1 against both those teams, if I'm not mistaken. We'll have to see how it plays out. I think the Hornets have solidly established themselves as above the other like play-in teams.
Mark, you know what I say to you?
What?
Say it with your chest, man. We're way better than they are. Like, yeah. It's kind of a hard, like, you know, slap from reality. We're way better than any of these teams. Like, I mean, the Celtics, we bullied them the other day. I mean, like, if this was elementary school, we would get a call from their mom. I mean, like, we just slapped them around. It was not okay what we did. Yeah, the Cavs, yeah, they have the big men. Guess what? They start Lauri Markkanen at the 3. Miles Bridges would bully that man. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, we dust him. And then, you know, LaMelo's worst brother, Lonzo, just is out 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. We're going to pass the Bulls. I'm confident in that.
Ooh.
Oh,
ooh.
Yeah, ooh. Eat it up. They suck. They're trash. They're little brothers. There's no way around it.
All right. So everybody's been like super hype on the Bulls this season. And I don't necessarily think we're going to pass them, but bro, put the Bulls and us in a playoff series. I'm not like, oh, the Bulls are going to demolish us. That's not happening. I'm more scared of obviously the Bucks, Heat, and Nets than the Bulls. I think the Bulls are closer to us. We're closer to the Bulls than we are like the Knicks or like somebody else. I don't know, the Hawks with Trae Young. Also, Hornets currently have 5 players averaging more than 16.5 points per game. The last team to finish a season with five players averaging 16.5 points per game was the 1967 to 1968 San Francisco Warriors.
Put it on the board, baby.
And do you know who their
leading scorer was?
No, no clue.
Rick Barry.
Ooh, very nice. Very nice. Blast from the past. Yeah, so like, I don't know. I don't know why we're not getting more attention, dude. Like, it's still weird. I mean, we're only 3.5 games back from first place, the Nets. And we're just good, dude. We're just good this year.
You know who I think is actually a parallel for us? Was the Nuggets about 4 years ago. Where, like, especially this was, I guess this was, like, post Grantland.
Mm.
But they were, like, the very cute, when they had, like, Danilo Gallinari, they were, like, every basketball writer was, like, oh, man, you gotta have them on League Pass. And I think it's interesting that the Hornets, by all accounts, we're better this year than we were last year. Last year, we were, like, the cute story. Oh man, you gotta check them out. But like, I mean, we're straight up better this year, and no one cares.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty wild. Like, you know, last year, God bless, but like, they're like, oh man, that Gordon Hayward contract, a little wild. Now, like, you know, Gordon Hayward's almost an afterthought for us. Like, as good as he is, but like, you know, Miles, LaMelo, Terry. Goddamn, Kelly Oubre.
Yep. Who had a bad game last night.
Oh, yeah. Terrible.
Yeah, dude. Not the best game from Kelly. But we'll give him a pass since he's coming back from COVID. But yeah, those five, dude, it's ridiculous. I mean, we're very good, like you've said. And it's weird. Like, the NBA community just seems to, like these teams that are bad but new. And like, now that we're actually good, people just aren't talking about us. I don't know, man. If we keep on winning games, like if we beat the Hawks on Sunday and I don't know who we play after that, I can't quite remember right now. But I mean, we're going to be 9-1, 8-1 in our last nine or last 10. That's pretty nice. We're one of the four hottest teams in the league. Got a few Western Conference teams that are 8-2 in the last 10. If we were in the West, we'd be in fifth place right now also.
Mark, this is one of those things. Once again, say it with your chest, dude. Like, it's kind of weird to say. We're a good team.
Yes.
Like, it's very alien to, like, you know, be a Hornets fan and, like, be nice. Oh, my God, dude. Like, I'm not afraid of the Jazz. I think this is what I'll say. The worst thing that could happen to us is we're, like, the Hawks of last year. They're a poverty franchise, dude. I mean, like. They're like, oh, we made the conference finals. We're gonna win the finals. We're gonna win the championship, dude. Like,
dude, all right. You're taking it a little bit too far.
I can't take it too far, dude. We're not some little poor franchise. We're gonna dust. Like, let us see LeBron in the finals. Oh my God. Say it with your chest.
I don't agree with Tim. I think we might win a playoff series. Carson asks, how much money is too much money for Miles Bridges? Eligible for 5 years, $173 million, a.k.a. the MPJ contract, 5 years for $172 million. We were trying to think of comparable people to Miles Bridges, and we thought, like, John Collins' contract was five for $125 million. It's a shame we didn't sign Miles in the offseason because we probably could have gotten him for, like, four for $80 million. And now he's going to make way more than that. I think probably like 5-140. We got to do what we can to retain him this offseason for sure. But I don't think we should give him the MPJ Supermax, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, I will say, you know, great listener, great question asker, TC Cunningham.
Patreon supporter,
the boy. I went to the Nuggets game with him last year, and he brought up, he's like, are we sure Miles Bridges is not better than Michael Porter Jr.? And I was like, man, that is wild. But now that I actually think about it, it's kind of accurate. And I would bring up assuming, so let's say that Miles gets a 5 year, $140 million contract, would you trade Miles for Michael Porter Jr. or John Collins?
No.
Yeah, that dude, but imagine saying that a year and a half ago.
Yep, it's crazy. Yeah, we both thought that was a dumb take. But MPJ with his health, and then even healthy, I'm not sure who's better. Miles Bridges is certainly better defensively. Healthy MPJ is pretty nice. But he's never healthy. He's never healthy. That's the thing. So, like, you can think of this vision.
His back is broken.
Yeah, his back is a big problem. He dropped to, like, 13th in the draft because people were scared of his injuries. And giving him that contract was definitely a mistake by the Nuggets. And I mean, he's shown potential, but when you have issues with your health, there's just a lingering thing. It's not going to go away. Sure. So I would rather have Miles Bridges considering health. Max MPJ is probably better than Miles Bridges, like in terms of his maximum health when he was at his best. But we just don't see that very often. He's not playing this year.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, Grant Hill would have been better than, you know, Miles, but he has broken feet. It was never going to happen. One thing we should bring up TC's other question, which is, it sounds extremely hot, but I'm kind of into it. Great piece of slander quote. He says, "Is Miles Bridges better than Jason Tatum?"
The answer is definitely not. Who's having a more fun season? Miles Bridges for sure. Jason Tatum's a tough watch. Who would you rather watch? Miles Bridges for sure. But yeah, Jason Tatum is still better than Miles Bridges.
You know, would you say that Jason Tatum is better than Jaylen Brown?
No.
Yeah, it would have been crazy to say that 3 years ago. I think Jaylen Brown's just straight up better.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, Miles is taking a big leap this year. He still has some, like, you know, kinks to work out on offense, but yeah, he's great. He's still probably our leading scorer. Last time I checked, he was. He's been great this season. So that gets us to our next question. Which players are still on the roster in 3 years? And I broke this down into tiers. I went pretty deep with this one. Tier number one is LaMelo Ball. He's, like, for sure, that's only, like, 1,000% lock I think we can go with. I hope we didn't just jinx ourselves. Then the second tier would be Miles Bridges. I think we're about to sign him to a massive contract, and I think he'll still be here in 3 years. And then it gets a little bit interesting. I think rookies like Boogie Knight, Kai Jones, JT Thor will probably still be on our team in 3 years. That's the, like, length of their contracts, right? So normally rookies stay on their first contract for several years.
JT Thor is the second round pick.
Oh, yeah,
he has a shorter deal.
Yeah, not JT Thor. So, like, Book Knight, Kai Jones, likely, unless they're traded, still on our team. Terry Rozier is definitely under contract until then. And I think there's, like, a 65% chance he's on our team in 3 years. That's just a random number. But, you know, players get traded. Things change. A lot of things change in three seasons. But he's definitely under contract until then. So he would be, like, another player that I would expect to be on the team, but, like, not really sure.
I love, it's almost like Danny Ainge, like, esque, but the fact that Mitch Kupchak is very openly, like, Kai Jones is, like, Mitch Kupchak's favorite player on the roster, which I think is just, like, wild. Like, yeah. I lie and talk myself into, like, okay, Kai Jones, man, he's the next, you know, Giannis. I don't actually believe that. I think if you gave Mitch Kupchak truth serum, he's like, man, he'll be better than Giannis.
Yeah, we would have drafted Kai Jones at 11th if we didn't have the Knicks trade. That's some inside reporting there. So we were super high on Kai Jones going into the draft. Yeah. I don't really know why he doesn't play if that's the case. But like we see, we've had like a somewhat look at Book Night. We have no insight on Kai Jones so far this season.
Yeah, which is crazy. Like, you know, obviously it's too early to tell. But JT Thor looks like a better player than Kai Jones.
Yes, so far. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's younger. Kai Jones was a sophomore coming out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I respect Mitch Kupchak's takes. And also, like, it's one of those things of, like, I think it's fair to say, like, the only real miss he has had since he's become the Hornets GM, I would say is Vernon Carey.
We got a little run last night. Last night we played at the end of the game, the lineup of Book Knight, Vernon Carey Jr., Nick Richards, Kai Jones, and JT Thor, the biggest lineup in NBA history.
Did you stay for the end of the game?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, man. I got to take notes. You know, us media, we're pretty serious about watching the whole game. All right. Next tier, I got Kelly Oubre Jr. and PJ Washington. Two people whose contracts are up next season, but like could resign with the Hornets, could also see them not re-signing with the Hornets. I could see PJ Washington being traded. There's a lot of things that could happen with them too. You guys have to remember the NBA, there's like a lot of turnover. So those players, it's probably like less than likely that both of them are on our team. Like it's like for each of them, the odds are below 50% that they're on our team in 2025.
Ooh, yeah, I've kind of like below 30%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like there's a possibility we keep one of them, I would say. Like the chances that one of them is on our team are like is like around, I don't know, 50%, something like that. Next tier is just like pretty much everybody else. I think it's pretty unlikely Gordon Hayward re-signs with the Hornets after filling out his contract. Also possible he's traded over the next two seasons. And I mean, he'll just be in like the end part of his career. It's possible he re-signs with us. I would say it's more unlikely considering he doesn't fit with the timeline of the rest of the team at that point. And then everybody else, it's just like probably not.
Okay, so you would have it LaMelo in tier one, Miles in tier two.
Yes.
And then kind of everyone else.
No. Like Book Knight, Kai Jones, Terry Rozier. I think they'll still be
really?
With the team.
Oh, really? I think that Terry, actually, if I had to, like, you know, always love to bet a dollar, I think that Terry would be gone. Like, I would be surprised if Terry finishes his contract with us.
Yeah, I'm taking like the bright side approach on that. I'm going with what I hope happens, kind of.
Yeah, no, I hope that happens. But yeah, like as soon as that extension got signed, I was kind of like, almost like a bad luck for Terry. And I feel he could.
Yeah, objectively, like most of these players are likely not going to be on our team in three seasons. But Terry Rozier, I think, is like the most likely of anybody else that he's still on our team.
Okay. Yeah. I disagree, but like, I don't,
who do you think is more likely then?
I think LaMelo is the only guy that like, you know, this question was 3 years, but like 5 years from now, I think LaMelo is like the only guy that I would like fully confidently bet on. I think that with Terry, I think that like, you know, 2 years from now, I would almost be surprised if he was on the team. I don't want him to go.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying, but I don't think anybody else deserves to be in the same tier as him because the other players are less, it's even less likely they're on our team.
I think that almost like Terry and PJ Washington, I think those are like two guys that I'm like confident will be traded.
Interesting. Yeah, I have Terry slightly above. I think Terry's above PJ Washington in terms of likelihood he's still with us. PJ's fallen out of the rotation. We're going to get to that here in just a second if you want to move on.
Ooh, yeah, actually, I have, before we read the question, I want to throw it out. Would you trade PJ Washington for Jeremy Grant?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I think I would too. Like, even though kind of like I'm a little hesitant because like Grant is so clear about the fact like I don't want to be like a backup power forward. And I think he would be like, I think he's worse than Bridges. Obviously, like, you know, worse than LaMelo, worse than Hayward. As far as like scoring goes, I think he'd be like on a Kelly Oubre tier.
Mm.
But I think I would do that. Like, as far as like our backup big goes.
Yeah, I think he's definitely better than PJ. So Davis asks, is PJ going to continue to have a role with this team or is he tradable? And dude, I just like looked at his minutes per game. I said he fell out of the rotation. That was not accurate. What I meant is that his minutes have decreased 24 minutes this year compared to 30 minutes per game last season. Guess who's averaging more minutes than him? There's a couple other players that you would
not think.
So
LaMelo.
Yeah.
Miles, because Miles is like top five in minutes in the league.
Yes. Yep.
So how many players overall?
LaMelo, Miles, Terry, Kelly, Gordon Hayward, Mason Plumlee, and one more.
Mason Plumlee, that's wild.
And one more. It's your boy.
Who's my boy?
Cody Martin, dude. He's averaging 27 minutes per game.
A deserved. That is wild.
Isn't that wild though? Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't quite realize that. I mean, he's been hurt a lot this season, only playing 29 games. But the fact that he averages less minutes per game than Cody Martin, they were drafted in the same year, dude. Cody Martin's a second round pick. That's not a good sign.
I guess Devontae Graham would be maybe like the highest of the second round picks, but I would say as far as value out of the franchise, is that Mitch Kupchak's best pick?
That's such a good pick. Cody Martin's shooting 45% from three this season. PJ has not played badly though. He's actually like shooting his best percentage of his career.
I feel like PJ, like, he's kind of consistently like, you know, we talk about it all the time. Like, you know, Miles has just gotten better and better and better. Like, as far as like ball handling, passing, shooting, like he's done it. PJ has kind of gotten progressively worse.
Over the last like, if you look 3 years. If you look at the numbers, it doesn't really back it up. But like when you watch it, it does feel like that.
I would say the numbers do back it up. His value over replacement player, his blocks have gotten lower. His 3-point percentage has gotten lower. Like,
no, it hasn't.
Yeah, it has.
His three point percentage is up, bro. He's shooting the best percentage of his career this year.
Based on like volume and percentage?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, okay. I guess, yeah, I'm wrong on that. I feel like, what did he shoot? Like 41% his first year. And I feel like he's at 38%. Like, it's still like not bad.
He shot 37%, 38% this year. He's shooting 40%.
Oh, okay. Very, very nice. Okay. So I take that back. Yeah, I was wrong, but yeah, it doesn't feel as good. And also I have to say, we talked about this the other day, Miles Bridges' wingspan has increased. I don't believe it necessarily, but Miles was a 6'7" wingspan guy when he got out of Michigan State. He's up to 6'9" now. I don't actually know if that's like accurate,
but it just changed.
Yeah, it's just like one of those weird things that like you don't really like, you know, I check on like 3-point percentage every year, but like wingspan you don't normally check up on.
Yeah. Dude, so back to the PJ thing real quick. I want to say that like his minutes have gone down, so his impact on the team feels like less. And we just have better players. And like he's not particularly worse than he was last season, except defensively. He is worse defensively. You're right on that. But in terms of like his offense, it's the same old PJ with 2% better 3-point shooting. He is shooting the best true shooting percentage of his career. It's just kind of like, just kind of weird that he's getting less minutes than Cody Martin.
Do you think Malik Monk would be playing over Cody Martin this year?
No. Yeah, because Borrego did not like Malik Monk.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Where like, you know, we just harped on it so much last year. Mm-hmm. I just think that Cody Martin's a better player.
All right, so I'm going to throw this out there. PJ more minutes, Mason less minutes. We got to get that done. And that gets our next question going from Hayden. What's the biggest gap in our defense? And the obvious answer is center. And then you look at the advanced stats, and they don't back that up. He's our best like on-off player in terms of defense per 100 possessions. He is a minus 6.9, which is the 93rd percentile of all centers. So that's pretty wild. Our best lineups defensively are also with him in the game. Let me throw this out there, Tim. In terms of lineups, when we have LaMelo, Terry, Gordon, Miles, and Mason Plumlee, we are at a plus 1.7 differential. when you switch out Mason Plumlee for PJ Washington, guess what we are?
In my heart, I would say that PJ is like plus 2.4, but based on the question, I guess he's like negative 16.8. Oh, whoa, that's terrible.
Yeah, so when we have our starting lineup plus 1.7, switch out Mason Plumlee for PJ Washington, it's minus 16.6. Small sample size, only 179 possessions. But dude, yeah, somehow the team is actually better with Mason.
179?
Yeah, isn't that wild? That's crazy.
That's only like two games.
Yeah, so Mason Plumlee has the starting lineup has 723 possessions together. Whoa. I think it's just a COVID thing. I think it's just like we have a bunch of random lineups in there that they get like 20 possessions, 50 possessions, 70 possessions. So we don't have like consistent lineups because of like COVID and players just being out. But yeah, dude, by advanced metrics, Mason Plumlee is our best defensive player. That does not stand up to the eye test, but I thought that was super interesting.
So the other day, did you watch the ESPN broadcast?
Mm-hmm.
I was laughing where like, I love Doris Burke. I think she's like, you know, she's awesome. But, it's just so funny to hear, like, you know, going from like Eric Collins and Dell, you know, who I think are like the best broadcast team in the league. Doris Burke was like, oh man, you're not a real NBA fan unless you watch Mason Plumlee. I was like,
yeah, that's like the worst quote of all time. Yeah, what? That doesn't make any sense, dude.
Yeah, I was just like, she's like, oh man, you just have to see it. He's a great passer. Oh, he's a menace on the fast break. His defense, she was talking about like he was fucking Draymond Green.
Yeah. Yeah, like, no, not accurate. but yeah, dude, looking at these numbers, I kind of am softening up a little bit to Mason. I still pretty much hate watching him play, but he's done a lot better over like the last 15 games. Something like that. He's played a lot better than he did. The beginning of the season was just so brutal and had me like hating him so much that now it's harder for me to like him. But I think he's better than Cody Zeller or Bismack Biyombo.
I was about to say the exact same thing. I actually felt bad for, you know, because Mason obviously, you know, used to play for the Blazers. And hearing Blazers fans talk about like, man, just wait until we get Cody Martin back. Cody Zeller. I was like, oh, I've lived that life before. Like, man, that not exactly what you hope. And I think that it's fair where, like, you know, it's same thing. Like, you know, we work different jobs. Like, it's kind of hard to adjust to, like, playing with LaMelo.
Yes.
He's a very different player than, like, Damian Lillard, something like that. Like, I think that, yeah, like, the first 10 games, as you said, were, like, pretty rough. Where, like, he just wanted to run fast breaks. But I think that he's actually I enjoy watching Mason Plumlee, which I did not expect to happen.
Yes. Yeah. So like the answer we thought going in was going to be Mason Plumlee. I don't think that is the answer to the question. By the numbers, it's PJ Washington at center. I think that like other players leave something to be desired defensively, like LaMelo, Gordon Hayward also. Yeah, overall, defensively, we've been very good over the past 2 weeks. Also, we stepped up.
You know, I'm going to throw a big curveball at you. I think this mic, it probably won't work at all. And I don't think we'll end up doing it, but I'm going to throw it. Like, you know, I think that North Carolina is the best state at producing point guards.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want John Wall to be our backup point guard. We don't have the salary to make it work. Yeah, big throw, but like,
he's a free agent this offseason.
I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be cool. I'd be down. Yeah, why not? That's random. I don't think that'll happen, but I like it. I don't think it'll happen,
but yeah, I think it would be just really cool.
All right, do we have any other biggest gaps on our defense? I think we kind of didn't answer the question, but we just kind of showed that Mason Plumlee is not actually the biggest gap on our defense.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because, like, I think that, you know, we were talking about it, like, you know, I think Miles has gotten a lot better. I think LaMelo is just, like, not good on defense.
Right.
Currently, you know, he's a younger guy, but I think that the biggest, most important position on defense in the NBA is center. And so it's kind of easy to put it on Miles, but it is, and we, like, play zone pretty heavily. We shouldn't be this bad. Like, I know we've been, like, I think we've been top three on our winning streak.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we're not that good, but we're also not as bad as, like, you know, the 29th ranked defense, 30th ranked defense. So it'll be interesting to see over the next, you know, two and a half months.
Yeah. Just how it plays out. Because we started off pretty terrible on defense, but we're getting it together right now. So it's hard to like single out anybody biggest gap on defense. It would be PJ dropping off a little bit defensively this year. Would be the easiest answer, I think. Because like I said, when he's in the game, our defensive numbers are pretty terrible.
Yeah, which is just, you know, surprising. That was like
it was the opposite last year. Yeah, I don't really know what's going on with that.
Somewhere PJ's dad is like, he's got a 7'3" wingspan.
Yeah, he hit 5 threes last night. He had a good game. You got anything else?
No, I think I'm all set up. I'm good to go. I just you know, I've realized that Steph Curry is never gonna leave the Warriors, so I just want John Wall.
That's our takeaway. We're signing John Wall this offseason. Shout out to all the Patreon supporters. We haven't kept up with like the monthly Zoom or anything like that. So appreciate y'all continuing to donate and support the show. Shout out to Melvin Todd, Xavier Harvin, TC Cunningham, Isaac Black, Brandon Garcia, Austin Johnson, Rob McMillan, and Caitlin Furland. Those are all long-term Patreon supporters. If y'all want to support the show, please go to the show notes and you'll find the link there.
I do want to say, you know, Caitlin Furland, my girlfriend, and so we're moving to Miami, and yeah, which legitimately, like, you know, obviously I love the Hornets. I refused to move to Miami a year ago because I hate the Miami Heat so much. They're legitimately like, if you don't think I'm a ride or die for the Hornets, I refused to move to Miami because I hate the Heat. But yeah, I'm finally doing it. I will, you know, like, obviously this podcast will continue. I just want to say to all the listeners, fuck the Miami Heat.
That's a good way to end the show. You can also rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Also, you can review or rate us on Spotify now. Rate us 5 stars. We'd really appreciate it. Help us bump up when people search Hornets Podcast. Our podcast will come up more if you rate and review our podcast. So big shout out. And all right, Tim, it's been real.
Big shout out. Also, one last thing I have to notice on Apple Podcast. We have 1 4-star review, mainly 5-star reviews, but we got our second 1-star review.
Did we actually?
Yes, we did.
Dude, what does it say?
They were too cowardice to actually rate it. I do have to say, I would rather get a 1-star review than a 4-star review.
Yeah, at least, like, if you leave a 1-star review, you got to say something. Or a 1-star rating, you got to say something and let us know what we're doing wrong. How do we have 2 1-star reviews, bro? That sucks. But yeah, please rate us 5 stars so that we can not be a 4.8. I don't like that number. I like 4.9. I'm cool with that. But yeah, if you leave a 1-star rating, please give us a review also to let us know what we're doing wrong. Some person said we were using the F word too much a while back. We cut that out a little bit, but also fuck that reviewer.
Yeah, I would love to get some feedback on that. Yeah, right. Definitely anything but a 4-star review.
All right, bro, it's been real.
All right. Be safe out there, Liquor Mark.
Peace, bro.
Peace.